SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
This is the San Diego Motorsports Show on AM 1170, The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on the San Diego Motorsports Show. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right. Hey, welcome. This is SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. And this segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, takes better care of you than El Cajon Ford, located 1595 East Main Street. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, but one, they sell nothing but American, new. Second, 80% of their trade-ins are from you, the consumer. People that are just do repeat business with El Cajon Ford, they take their car in, get another one, take the car in, get another one. So, you know, feel comfortable that, you know, El Cajon Ford will take very, very good care of you. All right, well, guess what? We have got Brittany Sandoval, the racing school teacher, in the house. That's your new title. And Dirt Dude showed up. And some guy named Bob. So what brings you in today, young lady? I'm just so impressed that you took time out of your busy schedule and came on down.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So, well, there's the end of the season for Barona. Yeah. So Dirt Dude is very valuable with all his stats and history and name and results for the season and last night.
Yeah, we got everything that we had. We had our first annual figure eight that we've never had before. Yeah. I've been there over 15 years, and we've never had one, and we finally had a figure eight.
Right.
And from all the feedback I'm getting so far, everyone was jazzed about it. Everyone in the stands, we had about 740 people in the stands.
More so than a normal night.
Opening we have about 700, and then it tapers off. We average about 500 through the year.
What did I tell you about variety?
Yeah, and it was everyone I talked to that was in the stands, and Brittany talked to a couple of people that were, you know, interviewed a lot of people in the stands to get their opinion, and everyone loved it.
They stayed to the end, too.
Yeah, it was a good crowd, and they all stayed, and then I talked to all the drivers after the races, and every one of them was like, been racing for years. The funnest time I ever had was tonight going through a figure eight.
See? Well, you know, as a fan, you know, we like to watch racing. As a hardcore enthusiast, like, which is about 300 of your people in the audience, right?
Yeah.
They just want to see the same thing. But if you want to grow it, if you want to bring more people out, you do a figure eight race. You do a boat trailer race. You do stuff that people go, really? Because the drivers all get a kick out of it because it's something totally different. So there's no points. But there was a lot of money last night, I understand.
Everyone asked me about doing variety. And there's a lot of other things that we're thinking of right now. You know, imports. We're talking about maybe getting a front-wheel drive four-cylinder like a Honda, Toyota class and running that. Because front-wheel drive on the dirt is awesome.
Yeah,
you get plenty of traction. Small car. You can pick them up anywhere out of a wrecking yard or tow yards. You know, you can find them anywhere.
Yeah.
Put a cage in them, semi-clean them up, you know, and there could be an easy class for everyone to start in.
And like, that'd be almost like a pure stock class.
That'd be cheaper than a pure stock class because you're just picking it up super cheap.
Right.
And you're just putting a cage in it and running it. Everyone asks about boat races, demolition derbies. If we had an asphalt track, that'd be fine. But in a dirt track, you get fiberglass in the ground and you can't pick it up. You can pick up the metal. You can always pick up the metal.
Well, yeah, because it's a magnet. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would do boat races. I mean, now that you mentioned, because, well, I told you the story about Cajon Speedway. It wasn't much better. They did their very, very, very first boat race, and they did it, you know, that weekend. Okay, and then the following weekend was a regular season, so everybody went out, and no problem. The first cars that went out went into turn one, everybody piled up into the fence because there was so much fiberglass embedded in the asphalt. And they never thought to go around with any kind of a magnet. They didn't. They just swept it, and they figured that was good to go. Took them forever to get that stuff out of there. So if it's tough on asphalt, it's even worse on dirt.
Sick, I was asking a few drivers about that, and then there have been to other tracks that have demolition derbies. He goes, yeah, I've cut a couple tires now. And it's like a brand-new Hoosier.
Yeah.
He goes, I just put this brand-new Hoosier on,
and
got a slice in it. And he goes, I didn't run anything over. I didn't hit anything that he could see. Yeah. No one got into the side. It just cut the tire.
But I think, you know, I think the figure eight's a good idea. You know, train races, I think the track's too small for a train race.
On the outside, yeah, if we did an oval.
An oval and in, oval
if
and
you did
out.
A figure eight with a limited group, like if you did four cars of three, you know, that's still pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. And then, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. And then, you know, you can have all kinds of fun with it, you know, because always looking for the guy that'll ride in the back. You know, that's always a challenge.
The center car is the blank car, you know.
That sounds fun.
The front, steers, the back brakes.
Yeah, yes. If you can believe that. So there's nothing worse than when you're going into a turn and the guy in the back doesn't want to brake and you've got your foot scraping the headlights.
Or they're willing to brake really late, and you're not.
And you're not.
Because you're going to get hit.
And the guy in the front and the guy in the back, they're not communicating, are they?
No. No headsets allowed.
Well,
radio.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to communicate.
No, they're not allowed to radios.
Right. So, yeah, but how much fun could that be? I mean, but you're right. I mean, and there's the proof of it. I mean, if you 200 more people, that's strong.
Yeah, and the figure eight was just... I've never been, had one at our track, and I've been in some.
You've seen enough of them.
And it's just fun to see because you hear everybody. It's like fireworks. Ooh.
Yes. Ooh, I'm guilty of that. I was asked, do you yell that much in your helmet? Because I was oohing and
ahhing.
You
see two cars coming across.
Yeah.
You're like, who's going to break? Who's not? And if they're not breaking, you're like, wait, whoa.
Yes.
And you're waiting for that. And then one of them will like go around the outside of the other one.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was seated in turn two, and there were some young kids just in front of me, and we were watching the figure eight. And the expression and the excitement on those young boys' faces was just priceless. They were, every time there was a close cross, they were just jumping for excitement.
They're probably recreating it today at home in the kitchen.
Most likely.
Probably.
Well, there's so many videos out now I've seen. Everyone on Facebook, there's this guy that normally does their video, and he puts it on YouTube. And there's probably about 10 other people that had their cameras out. And I told everybody, hashtag your stuff with Brona Speedway so we can all see it later. And sure enough, you know, you go to the Brona Speedway page on Facebook, and it's all there.
Yeah.
And they started putting it on, like, the Night of Destruction stuff at Paris and stuff. And, like, all those guys are, oh, yeah, I should have went. It looked really cool. I should have went. Well, the first video, the first time we tried it, we just graded something out in the middle of the track. And this is just a rough, you know, figure eight.
Right.
And I told everybody that. And then they're like, oh, well, that's not a good figure eight track. I'm like, it's just a rough figure eight track.
Yeah.
Just give us a break.
Yeah.
So then when they saw what we finally did for the Saturday race, they're like, wow, that's like the best track we've ever seen. That's a nice figure eight. I'm like, don't bring your car then, you know.
Just. Yeah. What made it different, would you say?
Because, what do you mean, between the two?
Yeah.
We went short course on the inside. We didn't cut all the way to the outside. So it's like we're using turn three and four.
Okay.
And then put the X in there and then came in before one and two.
So you did exactly like Cajon Speedway used to do theirs. Because theirs would be, no, I take that back. You go down a straightaway and turn in at turn one.
That's the way ours was.
And then turn out, go back out on three, then go down a straightaway, and then back in on four, and then around and back out on one.
No, you go in, go into turn one, turn two, come out of turn two, go back over to turn four, and then back through three,
that's a
and then
huge
back over.
That's why.
Yeah, they were passing on the outside. They
were a quarter mile
speed,
track.
Yeah.
So we were using the whole quarter mile on
so
the
that's
outside
why,
with the X in the center.
Yeah, because everybody else uses a real small, tight, you know, don't go too fast.
They were getting speed
the
on that X
was
in the middle.
We had the unlimited.
Larger.
We had the unlimited, and those guys were flying.
That was so fun to watch. I loved 27. He gets a flat tire.
Right.
Still goes. How many laps would you say? Goes and goes and goes with
he
flat
did it
tire.
Like three or four more.
Then the tire comes off and everyone has to go around, including himself. He's still going on
He's
the
He's passing
rim.
His tire every time he goes
every
into
he
that
has to
corner.
Go around his own tire.
The funny thing was, so they're like calling out on the radio to all the drivers, hey, there's debris on the track. There's a tire. Oh, 27, you got a flat. You know, we're not going to kick anybody off the track. We're not going to throw a caution line like that. So we're going along. And then there's like more debris on the track, some tin or some body panels and stuff. And then there winds up there's a flashlight over in turn one.
What?
Like, yeah, I was looking over there. You can see a light on the ground. So they throw a caution because they wanted to see what it was to make sure it was nothing, you know.
That's sharp
or anything like that. And then what I talked to later on the night was, man, why'd you throw the caution? That light was like where we were turning. We knew where to turn.
No.
They were using the light because it was getting so dark getting in the corners.
Sure.
They didn't know where their braking point was to start their turn. So like Mad Dog was like, yeah, I saw that light. And he goes, every time I saw the light, I just started turning right there. And he goes, he could cook that car so hard.
Yes.
He could just basically throw it in before he even got to the corner, let off, set the car, and then mat it again.
Yes.
And just all the way around the corner, mat it, break it out again, and then get back into it to straighten out to get in the straightaway.
And then you move the light.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Hey, we had a bunch of them all back up anyways.
I'm sure. Hey, let's take a quick break. We come back. We've got a whole lot more from the first time Barona's done a Circle 8. I think they're going to have to add stands if they do it again, because everybody out there wants to come down and check it out. Hey, this is SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
Guess you better slow your Mustang.
Look no further. We have the answer. AM 1170. The answer.
All right. Hey, welcome back. Here we go. SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. This segment is brought to you by Barona Circle Track. Tell you what, folks, they pulled one off last night at Barona Speedway. They went ahead and threw a figure eight and didn't really know what the results were going to be. Didn't know if the fans were going to like it. They rocked it out of the park. That's all the track and all the local racers have been talking about. Best circle track they've ever been on. And a lot of these guys are old dudes, too. So they've been on a lot of different tracks. But, hey, Barona's decided, you know, the 2017 is going to be the year of the change. We're going to start bringing more and more excitement so that we can keep this track alive and keep people excited. I think Dirt Dude is going to turn into Humpy Wheeler. I don't know. He's starting to look like Humpy. Now, whether or not he can perform, that's another story.
Are you just saying the age, just like the gray? I noticed the other day I looked in the mirror. I'm like, I'm starting to get gray.
You're starting to get gray.
I'm starting to get scary.
Oh, I'm in denial.
I wasn't going to say nothing, but yeah, you're starting to get that tad
bigger. I pay to hide it.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not your natural
you
color.
I don't remember my natural color.
Really? That's not your... See, now Bob and I, you know, Bob, it's we don't care.
Yeah, he's
do we, Bob?
No. Yeah. I
gave that up years ago.
This is my first year racing out at Barona, and I'm 59 years old.
Wait a minute. You race?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I thought he was your driver.
No. He went up to Ventura to race.
No. I raced at 57.
I'm glad we clarified that. So, he's the one that drug me up to Ventura. Thanks,
Dan. And you're in a...
A dwarf car.
We race each other every other
dwarf
weekend.
Car. Yeah, I finished, this was my first season. We had 42 or 43 drivers drive in the dwarf car, 23 to 26 at each race, and I finished ninth in the standings.
Excellent.
Top 10, man.
Now, have you been racing all your life, or is this something that you decided?
I did karting for a year or so. And
how old were you then?
43, 44.
Okay, so you didn't get into racing until late in life.
No. My kids are got them through college.
Sure.
And now I have extra money.
Right. Well,
what should you do with it?
You know, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you can go golfing, you can go sailing, or you can go racing.
But what's really cool about Barona is that... at times, I'm the oldest driver out there, but there is another gentleman that races with us that's 62. But the age group is all the way from 14 to 62 for drivers racing in the dwarf car class. Mm. And we have two father sons that race, and very competitively. It's a great time out there. The spectators get a heck of a show for $10 and to watch us race, and it's enjoyable. I mean, there's no other sport that I've been involved in where I've helped other drivers and other drivers have helped me. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we'll be in our heat races and you'll get tangled with somebody. And everybody will jump in, pull out their spare parts, and help you get your car back together. Mm-hmm. Because everybody wants to beat you on the track, not off the track.
That's right.
So a heck of a group of people as the drivers. It's fun, it's rewarding, and I enjoy it.
Hey, Bob, were you in the pits this weekend for this race?
I had a prior commitment, so I did get to the track late. I got to watch the
ladder. Were you in the pits, Brittany?
Brittany was, yeah.
Okay, what happened to the 7, Mikey Hall? He broke an axle. I walked up to him. This is just at practice. Like our hot
ride. Oh, yeah. Broke, that was
broke an
axle.
Took the whole wheel off. No,
again.
Last night.
Another axle. Yeah.
I was trying to
walk
say,
up to
I
him, like,
him.
How bad is it? And the axle is like broken off right at the housing. He hasn't got the wheel back yet, which has a hub and the rotor and everything on it still. Yeah. So he's like, oh, I don't know. I think I'm done for the night.
Nope.
I'm like, I'm scratching him off, I guess. And then I see him back on the track.
So not in our pits.
Someone
make
came
it
up
happen.
With an axle.
Yeah.
Someone got that car fixed and
got the old axle out, which is always fun.
Oh, yeah. They did all of that in the dirt right there in our pits.
Yeah.
Yeah. And.
That's the way that group rolls, man.
where we happen to park, there's probably nine of us dwarf cars all right in a close group. And, you know, we'll just, everybody jumps in and helps, you know.
Sure. Check each other's equipment.
I saw last year Brittany and Ryan tangled. And I'm talking frame damage. And we're out there welding the chassis back together so everybody can get back on the track and race.
Well, it's all about the show. It's extremely competitive internally, but it's still about the show. I mean, that's why you're there.
It's developed into a family, too. Like, I'm going to miss the Barona family for the next 4 months.
Where are you going?
Well, the season's over.
You're on hiatus.
Oh, yeah. Like, that track will be closed down. Yeah, I can hear the whining now. Come on.
I'm going to miss it.
She just can't wait till next year.
You guys will rent the track. You guys will do something.
There's a winter series somewhere. You can take your dwarf car and travel.
True. Well, yeah, now I've got that in my system.
Yeah, we got her first time outside of Barona.
Yeah. So but there we is did a, well. There,
so let's talk
family.
A little bit about that outside of Barona, since, you know, you... What do you got?
He's got results.
It's a Barona 15-minute.
Yeah, let's go.
I want the winners to get their acknowledgement.
Because the last 15 minutes of the show, you can have that.
Yeah, no problem. Right, they deserve it. They
all right, we'll
go
through our race results here in our pure stocks. Eric Evans did like triple. He drove everything last night, pretty much. He got a main event win in our pure stocks, and that was a good main event. The circle track. Dwarf Cars, John Isabella had a strong run.
Yeah, he did.
Austin Weiland was right behind him, and that
couldn't
was for the Dwarf
him.
Cars. Oh, that was a good run. In the Modifieds, we actually had a couple Modifieds show up. Justin Dunn came from out of town. Fourth race in the car, finally got his first main event
win. Awesome.
Fourth race in the car.
Wow, that's strong.
Yeah, so that was a good run. Then in our Pro and Stock Ponies, Robert Minnick got a main event win, and Danny Perry came in second, but he was first for the Stock Ponies, so he got a main event win.
Nice.
In our pure stocks, they have it down as pure stocks. This was actually, we actually had what we're calling Barona mini sprints now.
Oh,
oh yeah.
1100cc, a motorcycle engine in a scaled down sprint car.
Really?
Yeah. Another group calls them, you know, they're all over the states called like lightning sprints. Is what they're called. So, but back east, they run them, they call them in mini sprint. Big wing on the top, small wing in the front.
Yeah.
John Sims got a main event win. Jarrett Kramer put this all together to get this group here because these are all local racers and they're kind of tired of traveling because the closest they run is Ventura.
Oh, my goodness.
Paris.
Paris.
Maybe Paris. Yeah, Paris once in a while, but you're talking Bakersfield, Merced.
Are you thinking about bringing them in if they want to?
Yes. This is going to be another class that we're going to try and bring
in. Because if they're local, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I cannot.
This group. This type of cars ran at our track 9 years ago. They haven't been on our track for 9 years. So we brought them back. And
were they
happy? It was a good show.
Were they happy?
Yeah, except for Jarrett Kramer was leading everyone around and got the car crossed up. And then one of our dwarf car drivers,
Bobby Brown Jr.,
was right behind him, checked up, didn't check up in time, stuffed it in the car, rolled his car over that he borrowed from someone.
Car upside
down. Yeah, and they're all heading to Ventura next weekend, but let me fix your car for you while we're waiting on the weekend. And one of the best street stocks, you watch a street stock main event? Dave Capella and Steve Wurstel, door to door for
it was
four
a great
laps.
Race.
Yeah.
It was
there was a fender and maybe a nose between them that they had back and forth.
Is that the photo finish? I was at the wrong angle, but I thought that might be a
photo. If you were looking
from
turn two, it was really hard to see.
I was in turn two, and without exception, probably 20 people around me said, "This is why I come to Barona. This is the best race I've seen."
It was
in a
front
long
wheel. They said like half a fender that the 7 had on the 12 when he got to the line, but they were pretty much dead neck even coming out of 4.
Yes.
So it was that close. It was a great race. And then we get in our pure stocks again. Our figure eight, Chris Evans got a main event win. Jason Aldridge was second. Eric Evans was third. Eric Evans drove a bunch of different cars last night. And then Mike Learwell for our unlimited pure stocks. Mike Learwell got the win. Brian Fitzgibbons beat the heck out of that car, but got it there second. I mean, he started from dead last. Oh, and then I got to give some honorable mentions to the people that came from out of town.
Absolutely.
Let's see. We had Garrett McCourt. And the 27 Earl Cox. Those were the unlimiteds that came from out of town.
Oh, I didn't know he was out of town.
They normally run, they do they're the ones that kind of travel for the figure eight stuff.
Because
there's some tracks that pay $1,000 to win. These guys are like, we'll come for $500 to win right now, but we like $1,000 to win. Because I guess they pay $1,000.
This guy had the wings. We're talking 27, right?
Yeah.
He had the mounted, the wings.
It was pretty much a pro stock that had no roof on it, but a wing.
It was a sight.
Well, it's a ride with your brung, right?
Yeah, it's an unlimited class, so you can show up with a big motor. Yeah. But like everything at our track, if you show up with a big motor, if you don't get the horsepower to the ground, it does no good.
Yeah, it's just, yeah.
You know, at our track, a 360 sprinter is faster than a 410.
I can believe it.
Yeah, because the 410 is just burning the tires, tires, you know?
Yeah,
The 360 is just, you know, taking care of it. I wanted to make sure Alyssa Smith, one of our other drivers from out of town, she's out of Norco. And she did a good race. She got third last night.
Excellent.
And she's actually battling for championship at Paris.
Wow.
Is she a young driver?
She's 14 years old.
I didn't
see
her.
She came from a softball game she plays softballs on Saturday, and then she comes directly to our track or to Paris, where it depends on where she's racing.
Wow.
And then she'll do the racing.
I didn't see her race, but I saw so many people giving her a high five, good race.
I saw her mom post something, and she was so excited. She goes, this track, every time we race, there's at least four officials, and everyone, the other drivers, comes up and says, you did a great job tonight. Thank you for being here to her daughter. And they treat her like a competitor, not like a 14-year-old driver.
Well, she is a competitor.
Yeah, she is.
Right? Most definitely.
You need to talk to Scott and have an interview with her. She's pretty good.
What's her name again?
Alyssa Smith.
Yeah, she looked happy.
I think you might have had...
I may have already talked to her.
I know you talked to a sprint car driver girl, a female sprint car driver.
I'll find out from Scotty.
But I don't know if she's good, though.
Yeah, yeah. And well, there's one you want to bring on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, get her down, stick her on TV with
she's
the car.
Up north, though. It's hard to get them down.
You know what, though?
Via satellite.
Hey, all they got to do is ask Fangmeyer.
Fangmeyer came down, yeah.
Fangmeyer was stoked, man. He was happy as a clam. I mean, he got some good... I mean, we gave him some serious TV coverage. Well, it's funny, too, because lately KUSI has really been giving me an opportunity to, you know, instead of a 1 or 2 minute, I've been doing 4, 5, 7. I think Fangmeyer got 6. Now, you think 6 minutes, what? 6 minutes is a lifetime on television.
Was it this year opening season or was it last year opening season? They even gave us 2 spots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had our segment.
Right.
Went to commercial break, came out of commercial break, and ran another segment.
Well, you know, I've tried to tell KUSI, and plus, you know, I've been beating this to death for 16 years. You know, I mean, after a while, they kind of figure, you know, maybe it's pretty good what he's doing.
Well, yeah, you know, this is a good point. I was interviewing a few of the fans in the stands, and one of the young ladies, Cheyenne Wolf. She's new to the track as a fan. Her dad tried asking her all of last year. She rejected him. No, no, no. After the fourth time of asking this season, she said, I finally said yes just to shut him up.
And so
since then, she only missed one race. And she sounds like guilty. I missed one.
Yeah, right.
But she's getting to know. She was excited because she knew Kelsey Shockey. She went to school.
Yeah.
And so when you know those drivers, and how do you get to know? You see them on TV.
Exactly.
You know, and you get that buy-in with the fans, and it just makes it more fun.
She's sitting in your cheering section now, because right where I'm at in the grandstands, I look over, there's a 37 panel that's painted the purple of dwarf car, of Brittany's dwarf car, and there's always like 3 or 4 ladies there, and they're always yelling, "Go, Brittany!"
Well, yeah, she didn't realize it took her a little while. She connected the name with the face, and she's like, "That was the teacher when I went to middle school."
Oh my God!
So she's actually appreciating the family aspect. Sure. When I was interviewing her last night, she's like, I love it, and I'm going to come back, because I asked her, what would you tell somebody who hasn't come to get them out there?
Exactly.
And she says that she really likes the family feel of it. And and you get that when you get to know people, and that's why we appreciate Dirt Dude coming in the pits now this year. And just
I appreciate you. Like I said, when you were telling me, let's go talk to these drivers, I was running around frantic, because once I start my show.
Is this your new reporter?
I'm turning her into
my
assistant.
Well, you know who does it? Paris does it. They have
grandma,
what's her, Eberhardt.
Yeah.
She's in the pits, and she reports out of the pits. It's a cool deal. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a whole lot more. In fact, Dennis Woolbridge is on the line from Paris Auto Speedway. Can't wait to hear him chat. So stay tuned. You're listening to SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Well, if you ever plan to Motor West. Jack, take my way. It's the highway.
All right, here we go. This is KCBQ AM 1170 SD Motorsports. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at Paris Auto Speedway. Go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com. They're just an amazing track. You can just go to the website, find out all the races they've got coming up. And right now we got Dennis Wooldridge on the line. How you doing, Dennis?
Doing good. Thank you.
Good. Well, you're sitting with Dirt Dude from Barona, Brittany. She's a dwarf car driver, along with Bob, and he's a dwarf car driver too. So you're surrounded by racers. So
very good.
Yeah. So how I understand you're kind of up in age a little bit. You've been racing, what, 40 years?
Yeah, something like that. Been around a while, for sure.
See, Bob did it backwards. Bob waited till he was in his 50s and decided, geez, I think I'll go racing.
Yeah, I started pretty early and been pretty fortunate to be able to do it for all these years.
And I was looking at the little blurb that Scott Delosio sent me, and you were lucky enough to kind of be at the entry level of the Craftsman Truck Series, or whatever they were calling it at that time.
Yeah, it was a Craftsman Truck. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to drive some races the first year. Got to do a little bit of traveling, and it was a pretty good opportunity, for sure.
So I'm sure you got to meet some of the stars that are either driving now or retired.
Yeah. There are several of them, that started at that level that are at a higher level now or have retired.
Sure. Yeah. And so what do you do? So what are you racing now?
I run a super stock at Paris. Been doing that for about the last 5 years. It's, we have a lot of fun. It's a pretty good class of guys. Pretty competitive right now. Mm-hmm. And our championship night is next weekend, so pressure's on, I guess.
How are you doing? You got a shot at it?
Yeah. With Paris's format, I think I'm in third in points, but I still have a chance to win the championship. So on the last night, so it'll be an exciting night of racing for sure.
Man, I guess. So who are some of the people that helped get you to the track? Called sponsors.
Sponsors: Western States Racer Expo. PRE 2.0, Hubcap Mike Collins, and I just have a great group of people that help me, my wife and several other friends that help on the car and make sure we get that thing there.
Yeah, now that first advertiser you gave, was it West Coast Racing Emporium?
Western States Racer Expo.
What is that?
That's an event my wife's putting together, my wife and a couple other, Becky McBride from down the near area. It's actually like a racers expo. It'll be held in January. It's kind of a learning event. It's for educational, and they have a lot of big, nice speakers that are, very well versed in the industry. Plus a lot of the factory representatives will be there to be able to showcase their items and, so the racers can actually go there, talk to them about their products, and maybe, learn about what this stuff is about.
Interesting. I might reach out to Becky because one of the things I do here is I bring in young drivers and experience media, interviewing, just like I threw it out at you, who brings you to the track, make sure they talk about their sponsors. And try to critique them afterwards, whether they did good, bad, or indifferent. I mean, I've had some kids on air. It's a good thing I buy my own airtime, because they were giving me, bobbing of the heads and one-word answers, and they haven't quite figured out that driving's one thing. Talking about yourself and your sponsors is really what's going to get you to wherever that goal is. So maybe I'll talk to Becky and see if they don't have anybody doing that part of it. I would love to come up and take care of that area for you guys.
Yeah, definitely get in touch with Becky McBride or Shelly Wildridge. That's my wife.
Well, I got all Becky's information because, I mean, and Dirt Dude will tell you from Verona, I mean, and I dragged people down from Paris Auto Speedway. I had Fangmeyer come down with his car. And the minute they give me any kind of static about it's too far to drive, I go, well, how bad do you want to race? I mean, you'll drive around the clock to go to a race. Why wouldn't you drive an hour to come to a TV station that could give your sponsors, who generously give you all the money you need, a little bit of love? Am I right? Am I wrong?
For sure. Yeah. That's for sure. I ran Cajon for about 5 years, and we traveled from Riverside to Cajon Speedway every Saturday night. For 5 years straight, so we were pretty passionate about racing for sure.
And one thing I can say about Tom McGrath, who called the races probably when you were down there, I mean, he always acknowledged you guys coming from out of town. I mean, he would, and I think Verona does the same thing. When they know somebody's coming from out of town, they try to give you a little extra attention, because you just hauled all your gear all the way, and that's always good for the track and good for the audience. And we appreciate you doing that for the 5 years that you did. I mean, because without it, it's just not the same.
Right, right. Yeah, it was definitely a good time and a lot of great memories, from doing that, and a lot of great friendships, actually.
Are you kidding? Hanging with race people is crazy. I mean, the stories. I mean, I used to crew a Datsun Z up at, and we used to go to Riverside, and I won the 6-hour Enduro twice as a crew chief. And I remember sleeping in the back of my Datsun pickup truck and eating cold beans and But you know what? At the time, it was a pain. But now you look back, what a wonderful experience that was. No, it wasn't. It was terrible.
Yeah, well, those are the sacrifices we make to do what we love, I guess, right?
I can't look at an English muffin and chili ever again, because the guy I work for, that's what his wife fixed every night, Monday through Thursday, English muffin stacked with chili and cheese and onion, and that's what you had for dinner every night.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Actually, to be flat honest with you, I shouldn't tell a white lie. I love chili and English muffin and cheese and onion. And it's probably because it just brings back the old memories. So how long are you going to keep running?
Well, I don't know. I think I got at least a few more good years in me. And, I still feel like I can run with the best of them. And so as long as I can do that, then, that's what my plan.
Yeah.
Is that class running pretty strong still, or are you thinking about maybe switching to a different class?
No, I like the class. It's still pretty strong. We get a decent turnout. We get some guys from Verona. Lurwell comes up quite often, and Eric Ferguson from down there. So we get a good turnout. The whole track does. All the classes, they get a fair amount of guys from down in that area. And so we're still, that class, the super stocks I really enjoy, and the cars, you can kind of work on them and adjust them, and they carry some good speed, so I think I'm going to stick with that for now.
Yeah, that class is kind of struggling at our track, and we're only getting a few, so I think they might be limited to their schedule next year. We're going to try and limit them back a little bit because they're not pulling the car count that we need. So I was wondering if you just thought about jumping maybe modified or going back to a street stock or any other classes you might be liking to move to.
No, I like I said, I just I like this class.
Well, wouldn't that be like leaving your family?
Pretty much.
I mean, I could just see Brittany sitting over here, and she's got this fear on her face like she just seen a ghost, because I think she's afraid that Dirt Dude's going to say, so you're going to move out of the Dwarfs and go someplace else? Because I you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, and I don't want anybody to take this negatively, but when you don't take racing as a stepping stone seriously enough, like if you want to go to NASCAR, IndyCar or F1, sticking with a family and a group is not the way to go. But if you found your golf buddies or your basketball buddies or your pool buddies, there's no reason to leave. Am I right?
That's right. I mean, it's, like I said, we all have a good time racing together. And, you pretty much figure out who's how every person drives and what they're going to do. So it, you know, it just keeps it, makes it real, real fun. And,
except for Mad Dog, you know, he's all over the place and out there and fast.
Why do you think he's got that name?
No, yeah.
I was going to say, why do you think he's got that name? But, you know, again, I totally get it. Now, hit from Dirt Dude's point of view as a promoter slash announcer, you know, he wants to try to build these groups as much as he possibly can. And if it means to drag you out of one car and throw you into another one, so be it. But I get it, and I think he gets it too, because if he was racing and not talking, he wouldn't probably leave the group he was in either.
I'd have a variety. I like several different ones, but I'm going to question Brittany here. If you ever got into something else, you would try something else and see
how
it is.
Whoa. Didn't say try. I would say, are you going to leave the dwarf cars and go to something else?
You'd have to convince me that there's something else more fun than a dwarf car.
But how are you going to leave all those people? That's my
point. He just said here is you get to know the other drivers, which is a smart thing.
Sure.
So you know if they're going to dive in front of you and right. you can anticipate it. So that's smart. That's safe.
But nobody in this room would turn a steering wheel down, not even Dirt Dude. And he doesn't even have one.
No, I'll jump in anything.
Well,
give me a free ride.
I mean, I will.
But would you stick with it?
If it caught his fancy.
If I had the financial backing.
Yeah,
and if he won the first time out.
I live vicariously through you guys. That's how afford racing these days.
Well, I'd try anything, but it'd be hard to convince me there's something more fun than a dwarf car.
You haven't jumped in a sprint car
now,
yet.
Yeah. My dad keeps saying that. If anybody offers you a sprint car, do it.
By the way, Dennis, this is a school teacher that's only been racing how long?
I just finished my second season ever.
Ever.
Oh, wow.
And this girl's got passion. I mean, I've never seen anybody as passionate about what she does. And that's how she ended up on radio, as much as she's on radio, because she's the kind of fan slash driver we need at all these tracks. I mean, a school teacher, come on, why not? You know, I mean, then we got a retired businessman that's worth millions. I mean, yeah, he could be at the golf course, but instead he's here with us.
Yeah, if you want to do it, do it.
The guy that talks about racing all the time, too.
Yeah. So, well, we're glad you're doing what you're doing, and we're thrilled with all your experiences. I will offer you, like I offer everybody else, if you would like to get a group of you guys together. I know you're up north, and if you would ever want to, you know, come on down to San Diego and, you know, say spend the night, say on a Saturday night, and then come down, you know, I would say race at Verona, and then instead of heading home that night, stay at the track and then come down to KUSI on a Sunday morning, which is my number one watch morning show. Put your cars on. I don't care if they're muddy, dirty, or what have you.
Muddier the better.
Yeah, muddier the better. And then I'll give you a copy of that segment. You can use it to promote. You can use it to tell advertisers, hey, throw some money at me. I can get you on the number one. I got to tell you, dude, it's the number one watch morning show. So that offer is open and free to you and your group.
Very cool. All right. Definitely appreciate that. And we'll see what we can put together for next season.
Sure. Get my email contact from Delosio, and then you and I'll set this thing up.
Heck yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, well, thanks a million for calling in. We're going to have to hit the dusty trail, but I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me. And everybody make a trip up to Paris next week to see some good racing.
That's right. What's the number on your car?
06.
All right. Everybody look for 06 and tell him you heard him right here on KCBQ. Thanks, bud. All right, folks. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, it's the Brittany Sandoval Show. She's going to sing. She's got recipes. She's got it all right here on SD Motorsports. KCBQ AM 1170, we are the answer.
Need more fodder while arguing with your liberal friends? We've got you covered. AM 1170, the answer.
Folks, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports. This is 1170. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Care. Looking to get your car fixed up and maybe you want to get it worked on? Well, they can do that. But also, if you're building a car and you want to do a dyno, you mentioned you heard it on KCBQ, there is a substantial discount to dyno your car. You'll get hard facts. Greg is an amazing guy when it comes to that dyno. So if you're interested, that Certified Car Care right there on Woodside Avenue in Santee, 444-7170. All right, so Brittany, you went out on your boyfriend and went to another track.
Get me in trouble here.
Went to another track. I didn't even tell Barona. You just snuck out in the middle of the night, you and the driver, Bob.
Oh, no,
Bob.
She told everybody.
Look, I'm going.
I did. Yeah,
me? Hey, do you see her this excited? Do you ever see her this excited?
I saw all the posts on Facebook. We're going to Santa Maria. We're going to Santa Maria. We're going to Santa Maria. It got rained out.
It took me two weeks to convince her.
Oh, 2 months, I think. I'm thankful. Bob here to my left has asked me time and time again. And I was full of excuses.
Yeah, sure.
Not to go. And finally,
why did you not want to go? Tell the truth. You're a school teacher and all your kids are listening, so you can't lie. Were you afraid?
Well, part of me, speaking of school, work is owning me. So the time, legitimately. And the fear of the unknown, probably. Sure. Even though I love it.
You're comfortable at where you're racing right now. And you didn't want to expand out of that point right now.
Because you were comfortable to your little bunny slippers.
Absolutely.
You knew the track. You knew how to get in. You knew what to do.
The lights.
You got to take the smoking jacket off and get out there.
I know. Just hopefully there's something underneath. Anyway, I'm so glad he pushed me. I love to be. That's what I'm so thankful for. I jumped out of my car after the race just thanking everybody and everything for pushing me all the time. Yeah. It started with Bob on our trip to Santa Maria, and
I saw the video. You're up there thanking the guy that's weighing your car. I'm like, I'm so grateful to be here. And the guy's like looking at you like, I'm weighing your car.
Yeah. I'm just seeing how heavy your car is.
Can I get a picture with you? I was like, she's a little excited.
I was so excited.
That is a podium.
Yeah, I was finally on a
podium. And then you got to a podium.
Yes.
So
I didn't know where Tech was. Because that was the other
first time.
Yeah. During the driver's meeting, they pointed out where Tech is. If you were in the top four, I didn't even turn around and look. I'm like, I don't need to know where that is. And so Ventura, first of all, I want to give props to Ventura. I didn't say anything last week. Yeah,
yes.
The people were so nice. So we're on our way up to Santa Maria. We get the call that it's rained out. And so you handed me the number. You said, call Dave.
Yeah.
Right. We double checked that it was canceled. And so then we got the number for Ventura, and there was actually someone on the other end that picked up, Tammy. So she gave us the rules because we had to stop by Lowe's.
Yeah, we had to cable tie our bumpers to our frames.
Yeah. Oh,
so
zip time.
I'm running through Lowe's buying cable and connectors so we could
crimper.
Yeah, so we could do four cars from Barona. And so we got all of our four cars so they would meet Ventura standards.
Now you'll leave the cables on, right?
I don't know. Sometimes we replace bumpers too fast Verona.
Well, that's just to keep the parts and pieces from leaving.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Is that a bigger track?
No.
Smaller.
That's a true bull ring.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you get dizzy?
Almost.
I always wanted to know, do you get dizzy?
Everything comes to you very fast.
Yeah.
Very fast.
It's hard to explain.
Is it a high and low? Where you go on the high and then dive low, high, low, low.
One lane?
One lane.
Yeah, you had to be patient if you were going to pass somebody.
Yeah.
Very little
and
room.
And that person had to mess up.
Exactly. You're just right there stalking them until they mess up.
But you enjoyed the track?
I enjoyed the track. I enjoyed the people. They were just really nice.
Where, I enjoyed the track right on the coast.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. On the breeze. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we parked the truck and the trailer next to a chain link fence. On the other side of the chain link fence is the boardwalk. On the other side of the boardwalk is the sand. You cannot get closer to the ocean. Actually, it was part of the problem just before we went out on the track. Our visors on our helmets were misting over from the ocean
during
spray.
The caution, too. Yeah.
See, that was going to be a concern that I would think, especially what if a fog comes in?
Yeah. I asked him about that. Did your visor get wet on the outside during one of our cautions towards the end of the race? It was.
Good thing it's a dirt track, huh?
Yeah. It was such a good time, such an adventure.
So how did you get on podium? I don't know why you're looking at him. Are you behind the wheel?
I started seventh and Brittany started eighth.
That was awesome, right next
to
each other.
In the third lap, I got punted. And Ventura has a thing, no matter if it's your fault or not, you go to the back.
Oh, gotcha.
So both of
you go to the back.
Well, no, he didn't stop, so he got to keep his position, and I went to the back. But I was able to watch Brittany, and she held her own. She passed people. she had a great race. I mean, she was on it. And the four drivers from Barona, it was all the first time for all of us.
Yeah.
And we probably would have all been in the top five, but I placed ninth because I got dumped to the back. But a second, Brittany third, and then Josh was fourth or fifth. Yeah.
And so, none of us were ready for that track.
Yeah, we
too.
Were actually set up for a bigger track. So our cars were set up completely different than what they should have been set up for that track.
Yeah.
So how many Barona people?
Four of us.
How many podiumed?
Two out Ryan. Of the three.
So two out of the, wow.
Oh, and Ryan actually, another Barona, he was first.
He led a lot of laps.
Three or four laps to go, and he got punted, and he had to go to the back, and he literally raced from the back. I just dropped to the inside and let him go.
He came back.
And I was like, his checkers are wreckers for him.
He was on a mission to get to the front.
And he got all the way to second in like three or four laps.
Yeah.
Wow.
He shared his GoPro film with me.
It was amazing.
It was awesome, his last few laps.
Oh, I bet that was wild.
It was really fun. It was an adventure.
He was driving with passion, we'll just say.
I call him a madman, but okay.
Okay, so now, Brittany, we're going to get into this real quick. So if I can get you a ride in something else, are you going to go for it?
Yes.
Because I can get you right in a Pure Stock.
I would try anything.
Eric Evans offers his car up
my
to
gosh.
Everybody.
He'll loan that car to the Pope.
Yeah, I would love to try that. Now, does that have power steering?
I think it does.
Yeah, his does have power steering.
Funny. I would love to experience it.
Well, everyone I talk to is like, well, you know, I guess dwarf cars and the mini sprints that we have are ones that don't run power steering. Everything else pretty much has power steering.
Yeah.
Modifieds. But they all have a quickener, like you guys run quickeners. Because I was talking to Bobby about how fast that sprint car steered to the dwarf car he normally drives. And he liked that sprint car, but he said, I'd stick with my dwarf car.
Yeah, well, I just have to bring my booster seat. See out of everybody's chair. I wouldn't be able to see.
They could hook
you up.
He's
setting it up for his daughter.
Oh, perfect.
So that would be set up for you then.
The first car I ever sat in, Lynn let me sit in her car,
Lynn
the number
Davis?
Five.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was just strolling around the pits and they're like, hey, girl, you want to sit in my car? I was like, yes. And Mom took a picture and I was grinning from, you know, ear to ear.
That big old car she's got.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
that's
she did
so
well. She got third, I think, right, overall for the season.
Yeah, she did very well the season.
So the season's over.
Yes.
And one good thing is I talked to Don Kasarian from Paris, and we're going to try and work on a schedule so we can keep our guys
as much as possible
at our track, and then they can go to that track when we're not running. So we're going to try and do scheduling.
Right. So we can. Would that mean that we're not consistently every other week, or would we somehow keep our every other week?
We are still every other week because we're tied into the drag strip.
Right. Oh, right.
You don't have any
drag strip runs every other.
Weekend.
If you guys weren't involved with if the drag strip wasn't there, then you guys could do it could be a Paris Barona.
We could do back to back weekends and then take three weekends off. But with the drag strip, they run one weekend, we run the next weekend, they run, and they usually always seem to have the availability of making their schedule first, and then we get the leftover scraps.
I think
Todd's going to try and get to the table early this year and try and get what we want, and we're going to work with Paris so that way we're not conflicting dates.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we can start working with Kokopah and other tracks and try and get it to be where, if these guys
maybe
want to
a
run
series.
Every weekend.
Would it be nice if it was a series?
Yeah, they've done that before. Other tracks have done series.
I mean, there's no reason why you can't do Barona, Paris, Santa Maria,
Ventura,
you know, and actually do a series in some way, somehow.
If you went with there's several clubs that do that. So if you're running with a club like CDCRA Travel,
yes, I'm a club member now.
That's a dwarf car club.
I'm a club member now.
She has her card.
Yes, right there. Did you see how quickly I whipped that out?
Yeah, you did. I mean, I bet you wouldn't whip your license out that fast for a
cop. No, you'll see the date.
Yeah, you'll see the date. All right, folks. Hey, I hope you folks have enjoyed hanging out with Dirt Dude and Brittany and Bob as much as I have. These guys are a riot. I knew if I brought them in, I'll probably never get rid of them.
Hey, real quick, I just want everyone to check out the videos on YouTube. Check out us on Facebook with Barona Speedway.
All right, you got it. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. We come back, Gun Sports Radio, right here on KCBQ AM 1170. We are the answer.
SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.